Well, folks, there they are, the musical McLeans. When I thought about that, I thought about a family that I knew once, and I heard sing called the Musical Morrisons from Morristown, Tennessee. And that family had the most unusual record of Sunday school attendance. We met them in the state of Florida, and they had the most unusual record of Sunday school attendance of anybody that I'd ever seen. The husband and father of that family had not missed a Sunday in Sunday school for 39 years. 39 long years. Never had any company. Never went on vacation, I guess. Just never were sick. Never took to the lakes on Sunday or anything like that. They were in Sunday school every Sunday for 39 years. That's quite a record. Rick, I hope that you and Dave will have that same record too. And all the rest of us. Now tonight in the book of Isaiah, the wonderful prophecy of Isaiah, my text, in the 22nd chapter of the book of Isaiah and verse 22, the book of Isaiah, the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 22. And verse 22, after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that Thou hast spared us and brought us to this moment. We're thankful for Thy Word. We thank Thee that Thou hast not left us to grope in the dark, but Thou hast given us the light of prophecy. Thou hast given us the light of Thy eternal and never-changing promise. And we know tonight that Thy Word is forever settled in the heavens. May it also be planted in our hearts. And may we be stronger Christians for having come together in these moments of worship. Is our prayer in Jesus' name and for His sake. And with thanksgiving, amen. Isaiah 22:22. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open, and none shall shut. And he shall shut, and none shall open. I am basing my message upon the middle part of that verse. So he shall open. Of course, the verse refers to the messianic kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ when He shall sit upon the throne of David in Jerusalem and rule over all the earth. But the words, He shall open, so well describe the thought that I want to talk to you about tonight. In driving down the street the other day, I saw a little sign in a store, and it simply read, "Open for business." And I made a mental note of that, and when I got to my study, I wrote it down, "Open for business." And then my mind was directed to several passages of Scripture that God had opened certain things. And so I adopted that little sign or its message for the topic of my sermon, Open for Business. And we just want to open the Word of God and look into several places where God has performed the opening of certain things for us and for people of all ages, in times past, and in the present hour, and in the ages to come. Open for business. First of all, I want you to turn to the Gospel according to Mark, and chapter 7, at verse 35. Mark chapter 7 and verse 35. God has opened our ears that we might hear. Opening of our ears that we might hear. And straightway, verse 35 of Mark 7 reads, his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. Now this is the account of Jesus healing a man who was both deaf and dumb. He could not hear and he could not speak. Jesus performed a miracle, and the book says that his ears were opened. Beloved, our ears tonight should be open to the Word of God. Jesus said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. When God performs upon us a spiritual miracle and opens our ears that we might hear the Word, then from that time on, our ears ought to be attuned to God and to heavenly things. It is such a shame that a lot of people use their ears for garbage pails. And they just don't care what is put in their ears. I've made it a lifelong practice when people started telling me something bad and terrible and trying to spread the town gossip to me, I always say, no thank you, I don't want to hear it. I've got better things to listen to. I'm still with a man who said, a lot of people ought to be hung, some by their ears and some by their tongue. Our ears should be open to the things of God, to hear the Word of God. And if we transmit good things, we won't have much time to transmit the evil. Now, I know there are a lot of bad things going on in the world. And this world's in a mess. That's why I'm glad I can sing and mean it and know it's true. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I'm listening to the sound of another drummer. I'm listening to another station. I'm listening to what God has to say in His holy word. He has opened our ears that we might hear the truth. No wonder then we have the perfect example in the scripture. And no wonder Jesus so many times in teaching made it very clear that men are to hear what God has to say. And if we hear and heed the Word of God, we will be busy doing the thing God wants us to do. Let me ask you a question. Have your ears been opened to hear the truth of God? You know, almost everybody you see has two of these. And a lot of people can sit in church and they can make you think that they are hearing, they are listening. And they might be hearing, but many people are not listening. It's one thing just to hear, it's another thing to listen to what is being said. I pray God then that our ears will be opened and attuned to the heavenly broadcast to hear the Word of God. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Open for business. And then God has opened our eyes that we might see. In the Gospel according to Luke, in chapter 24 and verse 31, you know the story. Jesus was on his way, walking down the road with two disciples on the way to Emmaus on the day of his resurrection. And they saw Jesus, but they did not fully comprehend who he was. But after he had walked with them, and after he had eaten with them, and after he had taken bread and blessed it, verse 31 says, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Their eyes were opened. God has opened the eyes of the believer that we might see Christ. What are we looking at in these days? What are we looking for in these days of the 20th century? I believe our eyes ought to be fastened on Him, so that having not truly seen Him physically and literally, we still love Him. And having not seen Him, we still believe Him, because we have seen Him with our spiritual eyes. You know, I think it is a very pitiful and a very tragic thing to see a blind man, someone who cannot see physically, to get about in the world. But something that is more pitiful and something that is more tragic is a man whose eyes have not been opened spiritually, who cannot see and discern spiritually the things of God. We who know the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been redeemed and ransomed and pardoned and justified from our sins, we who have undergone that spiritual surgery, have had our eyes open that we might see Him. No wonder the psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law." Are your eyes open spiritually? Has the great physician of all the ages performed that spiritual operation upon you to open your eyes that you might see? And then in the next place, God has opened our minds to understand. In the same chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, in chapter 24, verse 44 and verse 45. "And He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." And verse 45 says, Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." Now, I'm convinced, and I believe the Word of God will bear this out, that a man cannot discern the Word of God who is unsaved. The unchristian man, the man who has not been regenerated by the Spirit of God cannot comprehend the truth of God's Word. Oh, but somebody says, I know people who have memorized the Scriptures and they can quote the Scriptures. Well, so what? A lot of people can quote the Scriptures, but they have no spiritual depth and no spiritual comprehension and no spiritual understanding. For the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Only the born-again believer, only the person who has undergone that spiritual surgery and had his mind open to the things of God, can understand the Scriptures. Oh, but somebody says, "Well, there's so many things in the Scriptures that I don't understand." Well, you know, those things never did bother me too much. It's the things I understand that I worry about. Jesus opened their minds that they might understand. Too many people have a closed mind toward the book of God. And you know, the mind is like a parachute. It doesn't function unless it's open. Let us pray that God will open our understanding, that as we read the Scriptures and as we pray to God and as we live for Christ, that we will have the spiritual discernment, the understanding, that we might comprehend what God has said. I read an account one time where one fellow said, "A lot of minds ought to have the sign on it, 'Closed for repairs.'" Well, that may be true. And I know a good repair shop too. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit can repair the mind and open our minds that we might understand His wonderful Word. Not only that, but God has opened our hearts. God has opened our hearts that we might serve Him. In the book of Acts, chapter 16 and verse 14, these words: "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened," whose heart the Lord opened, "that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." Now the account here is Paul's Macedonian vision. Paul had a vision in the night. A man from Macedonia said, "Come over and help us." Paul wanted to go to Asia. Paul had his plans made to go into Asia, but God said, "Go to Europe." So Paul went to Europe. And the first convert in Europe was a woman from Asia. So God was working on this, both ends of this thing. And this verse says that God opened this woman's heart that she might attend unto the things which were spoken by the Apostle Paul. Is your heart open? Now, we need spiritually a whole lot of open heart surgery, that our hearts would be open to serve God. Somebody said that every Christian ought to be like a watch: an open face, busy hands, made of pure gold, well regulated, and full of good works. I thought that was pretty good. Let me give you that again. A Christian ought to be like a good watch: an open face, busy hands, made of pure gold, well regulated, and full of good works. God opened this woman's heart, Lydia, the first convert in Europe, that she might attend to the things that God wanted her to do. And this was the beginning of a church, of the church at Philippi, because a woman allowed God to open her heart to do the thing that God wanted her to do. Now, our work for Christ, our labor for the Lord, is in three categories: good, better, and best. And our prayer ought to be that we would labor until our good is better and our better is best. May God open our hearts that we would labor for Him. God has not only opened our ears and our eyes and our minds and our hearts, but I hasten to tell you that God has opened a door of opportunity for us to enter in. In the book of the Revelation, chapter 3, and verse 8, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door." An open door. I believe with all of my heart, and as the days go by, I am more firmly convinced that God has opened a door of opportunity for this congregation, for this church. And we must rise up as men, as the choir sang a while ago. We must rise up as men and walk through that door of opportunity. I don't know of a church anywhere that has a greater opportunity than ours. God has given us the facilities. God has given us the people. God has given us the vision. God has given us the wherewith. And I believe this: if we don't rise up and walk through the door of opportunity, God will close that door. When we talk about enlargement and adding our Sunday school rooms and over doubling our nursery and adding a library and all of these things, let me tell you one thing. The fall of 1970 is an open door for Worth Baptist Church. And I believe in missions. And I believe we ought to send men across the sea and across the continents to win people to Christ. But beloved, I am convinced that there are many people in our own community who need to be witnessed to, who need to be saved. We have an open door. God help us to walk through it. It's wide open for visitation. It's wide open for witnessing. It's wide open for service. Let us walk through the door that God has opened for us. Something more in this spiritual surgery, in this being open for business. God has opened our hand that we might give. In the book of Deuteronomy, turn back to that wonderful book of preparation. We took our text from Deuteronomy this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 11. Now, I am for any and all programs to help the poor, but there's no such thing as eradicating poverty. If you don't believe it, look at this verse. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. You didn't know that was in the Bible, did you? Look at it again. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide to thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. In thy land, in your own country, in your own city, in your own setting, open your hand wide. There is more power in an open hand than there is in a clenched fist. I pray that God would open our hands that we might give and that we might help those who are in need. I'm convinced that the ministry of the church is taken up partly in helping those who are in need. God help us to have open hands to give. I read a story one time about a pig that was talking to a cow. And the pig was, these were talking animals. And the pig was saying to the cow, why is it that people are always complimenting you cows? And here we are, the pigs. Why, look at what we give. We give bacon and sausage and ham and ribs and all the pork chops. And what do you cows give? And the cow said, well, it's not so much what we give, but it's when we give. You see, we give while we are still living. You know, a lot of people are willing to will all of their estate to the church, but I don't want that kind of business. I want something while people live. Now, I wouldn't refuse it. If you want to make out your will, don't misunderstand me now. Don't misunderstand me. I would not refuse if you want to make out your will to leave all that you have to the church. But brother, you'd be blessed if you give it while you live. There are three kinds of givers. When I talk about giving, I'm not talking about just giving through the offering plate. I'm talking about giving, period. There are a lot of ways to give. There are three kinds of givers. Those like flint, those like a sponge, and those like a honeycomb. Now, those like flint, you just have to hammer, hammer, hammer. That's the reason that man got out of here with $100 this morning. I didn't hammer enough. You have to hammer, hammer, hammer. And all you get then is a few sparks and some chips. Then there are those who are like the sponge. You squeeze. If you put enough pressure on them, you can get something out of them. And then there's the honeycomb giver, and they just overflow with their own sweetness. That's the kind of open hand that I'm talking to you about. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Let us be open-handed to give to those in need. and to give to the ministry of the church and whatever God calls upon us to do. Open hands to give. And then God has continued this surgery and He has opened our mouths for us to witness. Why has God given us the ability to speak? You know, God has blessed the human race like He's blessed no other part of His creation. God has given us the ability to reason and then to put our thoughts into words. And God has opened our mouths that we might witness for Him in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 11, Paul says, O ye Corinthians, our mouths were open to you. For what purpose? To witness for Christ. You see, God did not retain any of us as lawyers to argue the case. He sent us all out as witnesses to tell what we know. May God open again and again our mouths that we might witness for Christ. And God has opened the windows of heaven to bless us. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you that you would not be able to receive. Have you counted your blessings lately? Have you tried to sit down and number or name all the good things that God has done for you? He has opened the window of heaven and poured out His blessings upon us. And beloved, there's another opening that's going to take place, and I want you to turn to the book of the Revelation. In the Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. God will one day open the books. So says the book of God in Revelation 12, verse 20. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. One day, beloved, God is going to open the books. God is the greatest of all bookkeepers. God has a balance sheet. God knows all of these things, and God will open the books and judge all men when the books of heaven are open. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, one of those open books was the book of life. And whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. It is going to be something when all the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books are opened, and men are judged out of those books. And God continues to open. And one day, God will open heaven that we might enter in. Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Back over in the book of the Revelation again, in chapter 4, John says, and I saw the heavens open, and I saw a throne, and God was sitting on that throne, and about the throne were gathered the 20 and four elders. Who are they? I believe that 12 of them represent all the saints of the old economy. I believe that the other 12 represent all of the saints of the new economy. So around the throne of God, when God opens the heavens and carries us through, all the redeemed of all the ages shall be gathered around the throne when God opens the heavens. Have you got your spaceship? You can get it at Calvary, and the price has already been paid. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. You know, one of these days, we're going to be going about our daily task. The buses are going to be going down the streets, and the taxicabs, and the trains, and the airplanes, and the factories are going to be running, and schools going to be in, and all of these things are going to be happening. And just all of a sudden, in a flash, the heavens are going to open. And Jesus Christ is coming. And all the born-again believers of all ages are going to rise to meet Him. And the graves will be open. And I don't know how God's got it all fixed up. Because here goes a fellow along driving down the highway in his car. I don't know whether God's going to open the window and let him out or take him through the roof. But it doesn't really matter. But in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we who are alive shall be changed. For this mortal must put on immortality. And this decaying, frail tent that we have must put on a new body. So when this mortal shall have put on immortality, and this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One P.S. and then I'm through. Until God opens the heavens, let us be occupied with open ears and open eyes and open minds and open hearts and open hands and open mouths until the heaven is open and we sweep through the skies to meet the Lord in the air. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long, it we shout the glad song, Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We are open for business. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for the spiritual surgery that has been performed on Thy people. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that Thou hast caused us to be able to see and understand and to know what Thou hast done for us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Father, if there be those here tonight who have never experienced this divine surgery by the divine surgeon, may they come tonight and undergo that surgery to have their eyes open, their minds open, their hearts, their ears, their hands, their mouths, that we might all be open for business in these days of opportunity that we have to serve Thee. Grant, O God, that we might go forth heralding the truth that we in this church and in this community are open for business. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in a moment, we're going to sing a stanza of the invitation hymn. If you are there and the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, Perhaps you've come in tonight unsaved. I don't know. If you're lost, the invitation is open for you. If you're here tonight as a church member and you feel that you need prayer. And let me say this tonight, and I say it from the deep of my soul. The church member who doesn't feel the need of prayer occasionally, there's something wrong with him. He doesn't have any feeling if he doesn't feel the need of prayer. If you're here tonight and you'd like to become a member of this church, by letter, by baptism, or on your statement of having been scripturally baptized, I want you to come while we sing the first stanza.